So good. Amen. Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear. I have not been rebellious or turned backward. Father, we just thank you for what you've already done in our midst tonight. What a blessing it is, Lord, to see that all your children would come into unity to pray for an individual and just to believe, Lord, for what it is that you can do. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've already set the stage for what is to be shared tonight through that song, Lord, and through your word that's about to be released. Lord, we just ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'd manifest itself whichever way you see fit among us, that you'd open up our ears to be able to hear, Lord, our spiritual ears. Lord, it says in your word that you didn't judge by what you saw with your eyes or what you heard with your ears. But Lord, that means that there's spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And Lord, I just ask that you to open up those eyes and open up those ears in this place, that we'd be able to understand what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, Patty, you didn't take my message, but you took most of it. But I appreciate that. I really do, because it's something that needs to be explained, I think, specifically, because one of the things that, to me, got me involved in church and so forth when I was younger is I always believed that Christianity was a supernatural religion. I never thought it not to be. Everything that I read about it and in the scriptures and so forth, I wasn't really into the Bible when I was a younger man at all. But I went to church, and you know, I just believed. I just believed that God was a supernatural God. And I think one of the first words of knowledge I ever received was before my grandfather passed. And the Lord had, Holy Spirit had told me that my grandfather was about to die, about to pass. And you know, I was at Boy Scout camp, and I told my best friend about it. And I came back from camp and went to go down to see my grandfather. I was concerned, but I didn't really know, you know, why I was that way. I wasn't like a, you know, it gripped me, anything like that. But I just, so I got to see him that night and went back home. And then the next morning, my dad called me up and got me up and came downstairs and he told me that. And I was so crushed because I was so close to my grandfather. I loved him very much. He was a good man, taught me how to fish. Everybody's had somebody in your life where you feel like that. And it was really hard on me, but the Lord had kind of prepared my heart for that. That's the first time I could really say that I really had a word of knowledge prior to an event that was about to take place. And so, but I always believed in a supernatural God. I always knew that God could do incredible things and that, you know, that he wasn't subject to the natural laws that we have on this earth, but he could supersede them. And so I've seen God's miracles and healings and things like that through the years. And a lot of them I share publicly and some of them I don't, just because it's between me and him. But God is a supernatural God, and that's the only thing that distinguishes us from all the religions. And Moses himself, when he was told by the Lord to deliver the Israelites, one of the things he said to the Lord, he said, if your presence doesn't go with us, how will we be distinguished from all other nations on the earth? In other words, he's basically saying, I don't want to go if your presence doesn't go with us. And so that's the difference. And it's also the difference between a lot of things that we have organized religion today. We have a lot of traditions of men through this country and all throughout the world. And they talk about the Lord, and it doesn't mean they don't do good things, but one of the things they're void of is the power. Without the power of God, without the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you don't have God's approval on it. Does that make sense? It's not that he doesn't do anything. It's not that he doesn't work through people. But without the power of God, without his presence, you're not really distinguished. And so I want to get into that tonight, but I just want to share that to you because you have to understand that Christianity is a supernatural religion. And so you have the Lord inside of you. You got born again. You asked him inside of you. He came and became one with you. And now that he's one with you, you're on the journey, you're in his training harness, and you're being conformed to his image through your trials, your tribulations, through the storms of life, the things that you encounter. You're being trained to be conformed into his image. So that's why these things are occurring. Now, he isn't the author of confusion. He doesn't make you sick to teach you something. That's not God, okay? Because the scripture clearly points out that there is a God of this world, okay? He's the prince of power of the air. The scripture's plain. And he's been judged. He's been defeated. But final judgment has not been carried out on him. So all the murders and all the things you see in this world that are, you know, some of them by the hand of man, obviously. But there's an unseen world that has a great influence in this world. It's a more real world than this world. And most Christians never get to understand that, and there's a problem with that, because if you don't realize that you've got unseen things attacking you, then you just go on your life like what we just did. We prayed for this man. He needs a healing, but there is a spirit behind it that's been enforcing his pain for a period of 10 years. And Jesus many times would minister to people. We would hear him say it, you know, spirit of infirmity, come out of this man, or would pray things off of different people. And so this is a real thing. I didn't really believe it. Actually, I moved down here in 1982. I didn't believe. I mean, I guess I saw The Exorcist. That was my revelation of the devil. You know, and it was scary. That's a scary movie. I haven't seen it before, but you know, people were talking about how scary it was. And of course, you know, being young and in high school, you know, in a rated R movie, you know, we're gonna go see that one, you know, got it, you know, that was the thing to go see. Let's go scare ourselves. And it was scary. You know, it was kind of maybe go home at night and like wearing like that. But that was my revelation. And it wasn't until 1983 I was working at we had a camp up here in Great Falls, a diving camp, and we invited people to come from all over the country. And so me and the coach down at USC, we ran the camp, and we had maybe, I don't know, 25, 30 kids, maybe 50. It was a lot. It was a lot of hard work. And this camp was Great Falls, and there used to be a cotton mill out there, and they built this huge, Springs Mills built this big, huge park for the employees. And it was, they had these cabins, and, you know, it was a big, huge pool, and it was really cool. And so my job was to make sure that everybody, you know, I coached, but make sure everybody was in their cabins at night so that, you know, no mischief was going to go on. And so I was making my rounds. And there was this girl, and she's from Columbus, Ohio, and another diver, and they came walking this path, and she had a little hoodie on, and she just comes up, and she's like this, and just staring at me. And the other divers, he's kind of, hey, she looks like she's evil or whatever like that. And then I was like, something in the air. I couldn't describe it. And I'm saying, you guys got to get in your room that time. And she's like this and just goes face first right into the ground, right just like that. And the diver that was there freaked out and left because he knew there was something in there. And I mean, there was something just weird. I didn't know what it was. So I picked her up on the ground because my gosh, she did a face plant, you know, in the gravel. She's got to be hurting. You know, I pulled her up and then she wasn't really hurting. So I sat down and we sat on a picnic table and I said, what's going on? I mean, what's going on? And she was like in a daze. It was like in a fog. I go, you sure okay? I mean, we're going to have to take you to the hospital or whatever. And we started talking. She says, no. I had a slumber party and we were playing with this Ouija board and these three men, old men, like beards or whatever, came and walked right into me. Wow. And I'm like, I mean, I didn't laugh. I was just like, yeah, okay, well, we got some serious problems here. You've done a face dive and you're seeing people, you know. So I called my the guy that was running the camp, Mike, and Mike was staying off campus at a house. And I said, Mike, you know, so-and-so, I had this issue and this is what happened and this is what you said. He was discipling me at the time, teaching me about things of spirit. And he goes, well, let me call her dad up. And he called her dad up. He was a prison minister and ministry in the prisons. And he said what happened and gave him permission to go ahead and minister over his daughter. So she goes, well, why don't you bring her off campus, you know, bring her out tomorrow evening and we'll go after this thing. And I go after what? Well, go after what? We'll go after, this kept going off in my head, going after, what are we going after here exactly? And so we went there and went to the, and took her to the house, and he started praying over her, and his wife started praying over her, and I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, her face just started to contort, and her eyes became bloodshot red, like in a second. And it's just moved around like this, and Mike's asking what its name is, and I'm just sitting there, exorcist is that's my Bible. I'm thinking her head's going to spin around, she's going to kill everybody here. She's got supernatural strength, and that's just where I was at the time, and if it did talk, I wouldn't be here today. That's how scared I was. I mean, I'm so glad that it didn't, because I was so scared that it probably would have scared me back home to Cincinnati, because he couldn't go out of her. And I had to take her back. Yeah, so I'm driving her back, and, you know, it's not like she's sitting there talking. She's over there in her seat with that hood on, staring at me as I'm driving. And I had my plan to stop the car and get out and maybe let the car keep going. That was kind of my plan. So we had to go back the second night, you know, and he couldn't get out of her again. And he kept asking his name, but they said, "You must be a dumb spirit because you don't have your name." I wasn't as scared there the second night. But to make a long story short, it gave me a revelation that it was real. And the thing about it is that people don't realize is that a lot of things that we get attacked in our minds are coming from these things. Doesn't mean they own you. It doesn't mean they possess you, but they can oppress. And so that's what these things do. And they'll do it to any one of us here. So don't think that you're do not be an attack, because you will be attacked. But the thing about it is, the scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And so a lot of the thoughts that come at me, I realize are not my thoughts. Not that I don't have my own original thoughts. I do have a brain, so I do think. But not every thought that you have is your thought. Some thoughts that come at you mask themselves as your thoughts. And if you take them as your thoughts, you may think you're crazy. You hear what I'm saying? Have you ever heard that? Well, man, I just must be crazy, you know? You have a reoccurring thought. Anytime you have a reoccurring thought that doesn't lift you up or build you up, you must understand, now, where does that come from? Take a thought. Now, if Jesus said, take every thought captive, and he's inside of me, certainly he isn't going to say that about me. You see? And so I've learned over the years how these things operate in people. I mean, I coach kids, so at college kids, so you know, they get influenced by all kinds of things. And one of the biggest enemies in my pool where I coached was fear. I was constantly battling that spirit, and I did not allow it to operate in my pool because God gave me authority there. And so I had ability. Now, it doesn't mean it never came in and tried, but when you get a fear into a place of the thing that I was doing, teaching divers going to high places, one person gets feared and doesn't do a dive. All of a sudden, now another guy over here, and all of a sudden, you got a real problem on your hands, because what I did was scary in a lot of ways. So you just need to understand that you are up against something that's in the unseen realm, and you have the equipment and the ability to combat it, but it takes an understanding to realize that it's real. And when you understand that it's real, it changes your life. Because that girl, even though she didn't get delivered, she got delivered a year from there. Report came back. And the reason why this specific spirit, we couldn't cast it out, is it had a legal right to her body because she was in unforgiveness. Absolutely. Because Jesus said, he said, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you and turn you over to what? The tormentors. Okay, now, the reason why that's such a biggie with the Lord, and I was talking about this earlier, is that the biggest thing that he's concerned about with us is our love walk. And we cannot afford to get into a place of unforgiveness or where we don't love. That is the enemy's territory. And if he gets you in his territory, especially if you're a Christian, he will have his way with you, believe me. We cannot allow ourselves to get into unforgiveness. Regardless of what anybody has ever done to you in your life, And I'm sure we could all have stories about how people have done things to us in our life. It doesn't matter. You got to let them go. Because Jesus, when he stood on the cross, when he hung on the cross, remember what he said before it was finished? He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And that's exactly the people that have done bad things to me or like that. They don't know what they were doing because they knew what they were doing and they knew about all the truth and all. They would never done it. But that's the world that we live in. We live in a world where people are controlled by unseen things. And if you're a Christian and you're really trying to walk with the Lord, believe me, he controls people that are around you and will put them in your path to try to give you a hard time or try to lure you into unforgiveness or anger or whatever it might be. When you start to catch on to this stuff, then it becomes very obvious. I mean, to me, it becomes very obvious. But I'm afraid it doesn't mean I don't judge people or judge situations, but I am afraid to not love people. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of not forgiving people. I am more afraid of that than anything, because I know that it's lethal. I know that the Lord is very concerned about that with the body of Christ. So many Christians have turned so many people off to the Lord because they did not walk in love, because they threw some kind of guilt trip or judgment or standards on people that they don't even walk out themselves. There's only one standard that Jesus said, "I command you to love one another." And remember he said, how do you fulfill the law? It says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you, you know, and love God, put God first. I mean, he basically brought it down to two things. So it's a little bit easy to follow the Lord when you think, well, I just gotta love this person. And the people that are closest to us, those are the ones that can really get under our skin. Those are the ones that we're in contact with us, that they're right there. You understand? They're the ones where the enemy really likes to get in between people and divide them. It says any house divided against itself, what? Cannot stand. And he knows that. I mean, Satan knows the word. His wisdom is corrupted, but he doesn't know how to quote scripture. But he understands that part, at least, that if he can divide you, then he can conquer you. And so there are things that are more at stake than meets the eye, as we say. So our relationships between people and people we have relationships with, you know, whether it's a work relationship or whatever relationship, these are very important areas that you have to keep yourself clean in, because it's only going to contaminate you. But you got to be the contaminating agent. When you are committed to love people, we talked about earlier, I talked about the presence of God, you know, Moses, unless your presence goes with us, you know, how can we be distinguished? Well, I'm the contaminating situation. I'm the one that's got the power of God inside me. I'm the one Jesus walks in me. So I know he's in me. I don't have power myself, but in him, he has power. I just carry him around. Not just like I'm contaminating I'm in Kroger's contaminating everybody. You know, I mean, you know how that person you know that smells real bad, you know, and I'm that guy that smells like Jesus. I hope I do anyway. You know, I mean, you understand you are the contaminating agent. When you are committed, not allow anybody to offend you or to make you upset. I mean, just when you try to do that for a week, I guarantee you're gonna have a lot of things come at you to upset you. And sometimes I do good and sometimes I don't, but the point is, I'm aware. When you're aware, you can repent, because you understand the relationship you have with the Holy Spirit. And when he convicts you to conform you into the image of Jesus. He gives you power to do that. And that's why Paul said, when I am weak, he is strong. Don't think the Apostle Paul didn't have issues. He has the same issues that we have. And yet, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was the one that persecuted the church. He was there when Stephen got stoned. He was in charge of when they saw arresting people and taking them to jail. And yet, because he was knocked off his horse by Jesus, and this is one of the things that's so outstanding about the Bible, here's a guy that was totally convinced he was doing the work of the Lord. Completely gets converted and writes 2/3 of the New Testament. In fact, even the disciples, it says that they were afraid of him when they heard about his conversion. They were afraid of him. They said, isn't this the guy that was killing us and now he's like in the same meeting as we're in? I mean, they were really afraid of him because he was really a real problem. I don't know, I just went off some tangents, but we'll get back to where I was in there. Anyway, if you got your Bibles, let's go back to Exodus. And Exodus 34, verse 29. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hands, and he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with God. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, they were afraid to come near him. And that's interesting. I mean, would I be afraid if your face, you had a light on your face? No, but it said that his face shone. And we were just singing about the Shekinah glory of God, okay? And so his face was shining in a way that was supernatural. It wasn't natural light. And anything that's supernatural, like if you an angel appeared to you at night and you woke up, you'd probably be afraid. You'd probably drop to the ground. I mean, all the reactions you see in the scriptures of when people had these manifestations, they had to say, don't be afraid, because you know, it's not natural. Something that you haven't seen. It doesn't come from this realm. So they were afraid of him. Then Moses called him, and Aaron and all the rulers and the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterward, all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded. And the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went to speak with him. So, being in the presence of God as Moses was, the glory of God got on him. And so it was something that could be visibly seen by people like you and me. So, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, starting at verse 7. This is also relating back to this account. But if this ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not intently look at the face of Moses because the glory of his face was, the glory on his face was fading as it was. You know, some of you may not know, when it talks about the ministry of death, see, the reason why the law was given is God knew that no one could fulfill the law. No one could keep the law. Because when Adam fell, all flesh was corrupted. So when you were born, you have an earth suit. This is what you got on as your earth suit. And if you get a hole in it, you've got to leave earth. But the suit that you're in is corrupted. It's not redeemable. Nobody in here is euthany. Everything on the planet dies, it wears out. Okay, that's our earth suit. And so when it talks about the ministry of death, no one could keep the law, and God knew nobody could keep the law. Okay, that's why there had to be that's why Jesus had to come, to fulfill the law and to forgive us our sins. But I just wanted to point that out. So how the ministry of spirit fell, I'll go back to verse 7. But if this ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory, so the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because the glory on his face was fading as it was, how will the ministry of the spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, how much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory? For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, how much more which remains is in glory? Therefore, having such a hope, we use this great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So, basically what that's saying is that when Moses brought the law, there was power and glory involved in bringing that law. And the Shekinah glory was seen on his face, but it was fading. And the reason why it's fading, because it was going to be superseded by the glory of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the power of God that sets everybody on the planet free who believes on him. So what the law condemned us, Jesus fulfilled that law and forgave us, and through his blood, we are set free. But there's more to it than that. Not just we're set free, that glory, that when Moses was in the presence of God, that glory was and penetrated him. Well, we have the presence of God within us, and that presence within us conforms us into his image. And you are aware of it because you can tell when the Spirit of God starts working on you, because he changes you. He changes you into his image, a giving person, a good person, a person that loves people, a person that wants to see something done right. You have these things awaken inside of you. You want to go out and do something. But not only that, something even deeper gets working you. You have something to do on the earth. There's that call. And you can't, people sometimes can't identify it. Christians don't know about it, maybe. They just say, well, I'm just a Christian. Well, there's more to it than that. You have something you've got to do. And so that glory is not fading. The glory of Jesus doesn't fade. It's eternal. And there's a manifestation of that. Moses had that. We have it too. And I'm going to show you scripturally of the things that are about to take place on this planet in these days. Because we are in the end of days. And how do I know that? I know that because of certain prophetic prophecies that are being fulfilled over the nation of Israel. These are 2,000 years old prophecies that are being fulfilled in our day. That talked about nation being in Israel, surrounded by all these enemies before it was even a nation. I mean, the prophet Isaiah describes the crucifixion of Jesus in more detail than the four Gospels, and he wasn't even there. I mean, the proof of the accuracy of the prophecies that are in the Scriptures, that alone speaks volumes that God is real. There's a show called The Daniel Project that I like to send to people. It's a great evangelistic tool, and it's called The Daniel Project. You can get it on YouTube and watch it. It's great. And the guy that they picked to do the commentating is not a believer. They hired him to do this job, and so they give him an outline, but they don't really tell him all the details, and so he goes through this whole entire thing, and you can see this guy changing. And by the end of the show, he's like, I have some things I have to seriously think about. This is not coincidence. You can see his mind change. And he's no longer commentating a documentary. He can tell this guy's like being real. He was leveled. Because, see, the world, you know, wants evidence, okay? And we know that, you know, that there is evidence. And that's one of the things you can point to evangelism. It's called the Daniel Project. I highly recommend it. And you know, even if a person doesn't believe in God, it's put together very well, and it's fascinating to watch. But in saying that, we are in the end of the end of days, and what is God going to do in the end of the days? And that's important to know. So let me just read this real quick, and then I'll go back to these other scriptures I had laid out tonight. In the book of Acts, okay, so the book of Acts, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will of those days pour forth of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So you have this outpouring. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they did say that, you know, this had started. This was the beginning of that, okay? But if we go back over in the book of Isaiah, which is what I wanted to get in tonight, and Patty's song laid the foundation for all of this tonight. So Isaiah 60, verse 1, I'm reading out the Amplified Bible, so it brings the Hebrew out a little bit more, what actually was said here. It says, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, dense darkness all the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. And the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." So you notice the first starts out, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to new life. Shine." I like that scripture there, because if you think about it, of all the people that you know, all the situations that you know, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. There's so many people in this world, in Christians, that are under bondage because of circumstances. And if you're not under bondage on circumstances, you know how they keep trying to get you into bondage on circumstances. I don't know about you, but so I have to fight my way off of them and go down, and everything's smooth for a while. They get back on me again. I mean, it's a constant battle, is it not? Am I in the room, the same room? Has anybody got the same things, problems? Yes. And that's Karen and I have talked about it. Sometimes she's strong, I'm not. I'm strong, she's not. I mean, it's good to have people around you that you are strong when you're not, and vice versa. That's the good thing about, you know, a threefold cord. But there are circumstances that have kept people down, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the world. That's the enemy. That's the things that he tries to do and spin on you to keep you neutralized. Because if you are so concerned about your circumstances, you are bound up. You can't rise up when you got circumstances on your life like that. And that's why God's word comes, says, "Arise and shine." Shine. That's the power of God that's in every believer, that's inside of you. So Jesus inside of you, if he wants to shine forth, or he wants to come out, because he is sovereign, you know, he's going to come out. If he wants the whole world to know that he's coming to it, he can send a sure sign and shine forth where from his temple. See, you're the temple of God. You're the modern day ark. They carried that thing around in the Old Testament. You know, a war's coming up. They put that ark around. They marched around Jericho with that thing. You know, and the presence of God was in that ark. And it'd be good to look at that, because this is a good thing at the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament, but there's so many things that happened in that early reign, that move of God through the Old Testament, that we really can glean from of how God's going to move in the future. So, anyway, rise to new life. Shine, be radiant. Be radiant with what? With the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all the peoples. So you have this time, as Isaiah is prophesying thousands of years ahead of where he lived, that there would come a time where deep darkness would cover the earth. We are living in an age where something can happen here today and somebody on the other end of the planet would hear about it. There is a darkness that is on this planet right now that it's visible. You can see everywhere you turn. Because communication has gone up to where it was, we are aware of all these events, from natural events to wars to this to that. The shakings that are on this planet are unbelievable. Just the politics that are going on in this earth and the nations, and that there's just a real shaking that's going on right now. And these things are all seen by these guys that were prophets. They didn't even know what they were talking about. All people, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. So Moses, spending time in the presence of God, when he came out, he was illuminated. If you have a relationship with the Lord, and you spend time with him and spend time with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be some rubbing off. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why Jesus was so specific to his disciples, he said to them, you go to Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high to be my witnesses. So those that are gathering together, there are specific gathering points. I would point that out. I would submit to you that God may be speaking to you to go maybe specific means or specific place. Maybe this is one of them. But God is going to come in such manifestation, such power, just as he did on the days of Pentecost. It said in the days of Pentecost that there was a sound. It wasn't just them that heard it. It was all the people outside of that upper room that heard it too. They're going, what in the world? They heard the sound. They saw what was happening to these guys that were in this place, how they were speaking in their languages, and they knew that these guys didn't know their language, but yet they heard them in their own language. That was impossible. I mean, these are the kinds of things that Christians have got to step up the plate and start believing and understanding. We serve a supernatural God that is going to win as many people as he can before he returns. And he's going to use his church to do it, but his church may not be in that building down the street. His church may be inside of you. Because you're going to reach people that no one's going to walk through those doors down there, because that's a bunch of people that are throwing a bunch of judgments on people. I'm not saying that's what it is. Do you know what I'm saying? You get my point? Don't get me going on churches. You know, because I just don't see the Lord pleased with the structures of traditions of men. I see him very pleased with people who just simply have a message of love, or are willing to love somebody, or if somebody's cold or whatever, wants to help people out. Okay? Anyway, I don't want to go down those roads. So anyway, but behold, darkness is going to cover the earth, and dense darkness all the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and it will be seen on you. And the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, this is interesting. But you who revere and worshipfully fear the Lord, Lord, fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and his beams. And you shall go forth and gamble like calves, released from the stall, and leap for joy. When he's saying that, the analogy of there is the calves leaping from the stall. The calves were given a special diet to grow up fast. And so the Lord, you know, when this kind of manifestation occurs, when God pours his Spirit out, and his Spirit's inside of us, when he pours that out, there's a more, we conform into what? Into his image. Look at Peter. Peter denied the Lord, did he not? But after the days of Pentecost, what he did, he was out there in front and getting everybody's face. He was trams. He morphed. These guys were completely, you know, they just murdered their Lord. They were afraid, but they were transformed into these other people. They became like the Lord. And they were bold. And Jesus, I mean, Peter preached to them, and 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. And then later on, he's going up, they were going next day or whatever, they would go up praying to the temple, whatever, and there was a guy there that was lame. He gets healed. He was that way for 40 years. Everybody knew him because he was right in the gate of the temple where everybody walked through every day. He begged alms. Everybody knew this guy, knew he's paralyzed for 40 years. All of a sudden, now he's whole. 5,000 come to the Lord. And they were so mad at the fact that Peter did that, they were preaching about Jesus because they tried to stop it. They arrested him for a miracle, arrested him. And they were afraid of the people because the people saw the miracle. They knew that it was legit. They couldn't, but they can't. Now, we'll let you go, but don't you dare preach in that name of Jesus. And they said, who are we to listen to? You or God? So in saying this, this outpouring that's going to come on this earth, it's going to come on you, and it's going to come on me. That's why you have to have your ear right up to the Lord. That when you wake up, it might be today. And it doesn't matter if it's not today or not. You've got enough of Jesus inside of you to go ahead and release it. Now you say, well, maybe, you know, I'm not so spiritual, or maybe I don't know my Bible, this like that. And I didn't know it either, but you know what? You don't have to know anything to love people. Because when Jesus is inside of you, when you commit to love people, he will have you view them the way he sees them. Because the way he looks upon the heart of an individual, he doesn't look on all this other stuff that's around them. The biggest experience I have ever had with that was when I was in South Africa in a maximum security prison. I don't know if Peter took you all to that place or not, but it was a little scary. I mean, I wasn't, you know, it was my first time over there, and you know, xenophobia breaks out, and all of a sudden now I'm in a maximum security prison. It was a lot of stuff that was happening. But I was in a room that was maybe the size of that little library, and we're sitting there waiting, and they were singing so loud, we could hardly hear each other next to each other because it was the last singing was so loud. So they took me into the next room. There's about 300 prisoners there, and we're all just jammed in like sardines, and they're singing, man. It was so loud. It was such a blessing. But when I got up to minister, as soon as I got to minister, everybody I looked at, it's as if they never committed any crimes. It was the strangest, weirdest thing that occurred because everybody I was looking at, I couldn't even see evil. It was totally God doing that in my mind somehow. And I'll never forget, there was this young guy there, whatever, and I had a word of knowledge for him, and I said, you know, you were called to be a teacher. You were going to be a teacher, and da-da-da-da, this happened, that happened. This guy started crying. It was his first time coming to the meeting. And he just God just laid him out. And it just, you know, you just see him just change, because a lot of these guys didn't have any hope. Because a lot of them were murderers and did different things, I guess. But what I'm trying to say is this, is that when you are committed to love as God loves, he looks upon the heart, he looks upon the potential of an individual. And he will give you the words to speak in the potential of somebody's heart, and you when you're yield to his love. That's how he moves. That's how the gifts of the Spirit function. They function in love. Faith worketh by love. All the gifts of the Spirit work by faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The evidence of a gift from God to give somebody else is that he has love in it. It speaks to the potential of somebody's life. And that's what unleashes the power of God that's inside of us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is training you and training me and many other Christians around this planet for a specific strategic time of his outpouring. It won't just occur in one part of the earth and people will travel to this revival here, or they hear, oh, there's something going off in Florida, go down here. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be all over the planet simultaneously, where no one is going to be able to say it's this preacher, that preacher. It's the body of Christ that he has salted this earth with strategically for a time and a season that he can pour out his Spirit with such dimension that literally on our face, literally be seen the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. When he shines forth out of his temple, that's what he's preparing you for. And if you take the time to really seek the Holy Spirit in this, regardless of where you are with the Lord, you know, when I coached, I had kids, different level. I had kids that learned to flip, and then a person in the same place could do a front 3.5. But it didn't matter. They were all divers. And they all had the same power. And that's what I like about Jesus. We're all on the same playing field. We all have the same amount of talent. And you have a mission that you were sent this earth to do. And you're going to find out what that is. And when you do, never turn back. Because everything that's, all these circumstances, this is for some, more than one person here. Some of the circumstances that you're battling is you have not yet made the commitment. You've not been present in certain times, certain places, certain meetings, certain gatherings, whatever. You've not been there. You let other things distract you, took you here, took you there, whatever. And you, because you've not committed yet, you are battling circumstances that continually impound you, impound you, impound you, because you've not yet committed. Because when those circumstances are removed, then what are you going to do? Are you waiting for them to be removed so you can go for it? Because it ain't going to happen. You go for it and you rise from the circumstances which have held you down and you rise and shine to a new life. And you commit yourself to the Lord. I found that to happen time and time again when you enter into the areas of vision. Why? Some people don't complete their vision. Some people do. It's all in the areas of distraction. And we get distracted by many things. But one other thing I will tell you this, is that when you make a mistake, one of the things that is such a hard, that I think the Lord just really wants to get through to us, you're not perfect. And if you think that you got to get perfect for God to use you, you're never going to get there. In fact, I would submit to you, the further, closer you get to the Lord, the more you're going to be aware of your weaknesses, and the greater amount you're going to love, because you have much sin to be forgiven, you have loved much. And you understand, there aren't levels we tend to categorize different things. This person does this, person does that. Let me tell you, this is not redeemed. There are so many things in the flesh that you and I do that we just wish we could just flush down the toilet. But what we can do is we can walk in the grace of God and receive his love. Because one of the hardest things I had with athletes is when they made a mistake in a meet, they beat themselves up until they were useless. They couldn't even get up to the practice the next day because they were so down themselves. Let me tell you something. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. He loves you. He knew you were going to fall before you did. And yet he loves you. His love is beyond understanding. It is the most It's the strongest thing that there is in the universe to me. I can't communicate words when I talk about him, you know, in my relationship. It's hard to talk for me. I can't express it because it's not just that I'm aware of how much he loves me. I'm aware of how much he loves you. I'm always amazed at how much he loves people and how that everything that he does comes out of that. So you can be very effective where you're at, because when you open yourself up to his love, it's for you, but it's for others. It's something that you want to give to other people. You know, we got Christmas coming up. You know, and you know how it is. You know, what's our budget? You know, what's the budget like? You know, well, we got this and this. You got enough for the kids, you know, and you got that going on. But then when you really, really think about, what do I really have to give? And it says that we have the treasures of Christ Jesus inside of us. That's not something that can be earned. It's something that is given. But also it's something that we have the ability to use. God gives us that choice. And when you decide to give that, it's just a simple cup of water to somebody. It's simple as that. It's done from the heart. When you begin to become a person, an agent of his love like that, it just steamrolls. And he will bring you before many, many faces, and you will travel many, many places. And wherever you go, you're on call. And sometimes I was listening to something today where this brother from South Africa that I just met recently, a street preacher, and he was talking about he was having some kind of, he had a hernia, and so he had to go to the hospital to get it taken care of. And he said, I'm going to bring a book because I don't want anybody talking to me. I just want to read my book and get into my book. And he said, I just don't want to be bothered by anybody. And so he comes in there and said, didn't want anybody talking to him. He sits in this woman sits next to him, and she just doesn't stop talking. And so she keeps talking. So he talks back to her and comes to realize that, you know, she has some type of a cancer or something along those lines. And so here he is trying to not, and realizes, you know, this is an opportunity for ministry. So he starts ministering. He spoke to her, and what he said to her, the words of knowledge, but he also prayed for her. Well, there's people in the waiting room, and they're watching all this. And she gets healed. Not only she gets healed, she goes and gets scanned and comes out, and he's still waiting, and she comes back telling everybody that the cancer's not there. But, I mean, you can't make that up. But this guy's a street evangelist, so he's a little bit used to it, but at the same time, too, all his testimony is here, where these crowds just start forming in a hospital where he didn't want to talk to anybody, and God changed all that. Now, you know how it is. Sometimes you can do it in a way where, yeah, I'm going to read a book, yeah, whatever. And then you go back to your book and try to sweep it off, but that's not what he did. Another thing, I did share this a couple weeks ago. Some of you were here, maybe had heard it. Same guy. And we were, right before I left South Africa this last time, he was on the team, and he came up to me and said, Todd, I really desire that gift that you have. And I knew that I said, well, you move in words and knowledge. I said, no, I don't do it like you do it. I can't just pick people out and administer and stuff like that. And I go, well, you know, let's pray. And I pray that you would get that. So I prayed over him, and my hands got hot. I mean, hot, like I had warmers on them. Like it was, you know, I've had that happen before, but this was unusual for me. I was like, I knew he's getting something, because this isn't coming from me. Well, anyway, some weeks go by, I come back home, and actually a couple months went by. And he he went to buy a car, and the deal went south, and I guess people, I don't know, he got ripped off or what, but he was upset and says, I'm going to go for a walk, and he walks up the street, goes to the pub and grub or whatever, and he saw a friend up there that he knew. So he goes up and says hi to his friend, and his friend had another person with him. I forget the guy's name, but he introduced him. And so he's sitting there, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit told him, you have a word for this guy. And so I instructed them when I was over there how the gift of prophecy works. And if you just pray a blessing over somebody and just say, Lord, just bless them, you know, help them or whatever you say to bless them, and then just stop, and whatever comes into your mind, say it. So he does this. So anyway, he gets a word, says that this guy is like a Jabez, and you know, nobody listens to, and you're all alone, and you've been, you know, ostracized, and this and that. And this guy is crying. They're in a bar, okay? And this guy starts crying like a baby, and just puts his hand right on his arm, and just starts weeping, and he had other things he was saying to him, and people are, you know, drinking, and they're watching this. And he leads him to the Lord right in front of everybody. And the guy goes, who are you? You see, because only God knew what came through his mouth to him. This is the kind of thing that God wants to do through all of us. And all he did was ask for the gift, and he followed a specific direction from me, who I learned over the period of years, how it works, how it's activated. And it comes from being rooted in love and really not praying a blessing so the words of knowledge walk through me, but to really care that somebody really does get blessed. I mean, to love them like you would your child. And so this outpouring that is on the horizon, is something I believe that God is communicating to all the Christians everywhere. Not everybody's hearing him, though. And one of the things that I'm hearing, I've heard recently through another minister that heard it from the Lord, it resonates with me, and I'm not saying thus says the Lord, but I do believe that this is true. I believe the Lord was saying to him, he says, I will no longer be ignored. And it's not, he's not just talking about that in his church. He's talking about that in the world. And so when you hear a word like that, that God is saying, I don't want to be ignored. Now, we know that Jesus doesn't come back until the Father says come back. He doesn't know when. The Holy Spirit doesn't know when. Only the Father knows. But he is coming back. And so he's coming back for a mature church. He's coming back for a bride. It says a bride that's dressed in white linen, dazzling. When you read that book of Revelation, you can see that the glory of the Lord is on that church. And so there's a transition that's going to be taking place. This is a very, very important year for the body of Christ. This is a year of preparation, and it's also a year to really start to reach out to people. And you are planted strategically around people, believe me. Start praying for them. Start taking advantage of every day, regardless of what it is. Maybe you aren't around anybody all day long. I'm not around a lot of people like I used to be, but you know what? I can pray for them. I can call somebody up. I can spend time with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, you can do all kinds of things. Some of you have a very effective prayer intercession. I know people in here are interceding for me. I know that. I feel it. I thank you for that. And I hope that you feel my prayers as well. Because I really am believing for you to have a move of God come out of you and touch a world. Amen. Ralph, do you want to comment on what I just said? Come on up here. Sorry. I'm not really sorry.
Do you want to comment on what you just said?
Yeah, just what do you have a summary or what are you yes and amen or?
Yes and amen.
Okay, all right.
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's good work, for
right.
sure.
Okay, definitely. Thanks.
I do have a word for somebody. Though.
Well, you got to give it. That's why I brought you up here.
I don't know the lady on the back, but I don't remember your name.
Alicia.
While we were in worship, I saw you, and I don't want to try to interpret what this is, but you were you had a broom, and you were sweeping aggressively. You were sweeping some things out of wherever you were. I felt like it's a prophetic gesture. There's something that God is going to lead you into that's going to require cleaning some things out. And I'm not saying particularly your life, but I think there's some things that God is going to begin to reveal to you, and you're going to begin to understand. It's time to house clean of that particular area, and I hope that makes sense to you. But
yes.
And Georgia, sitting behind you, I felt the Lord was saying over and over and over, and this may be a real stretch for you to even think about. But I kept hearing the word teacher when I looked at your back of your head. I felt like the Lord is going to begin in the near future to begin to equip you in the area of teaching. Brother Todd was admonishing us, encouraging us, what is it that you feel like God's called you to? And as a young person, you may say, I have no clue. And I'm not trying to push you a particular direction, but I felt as I was looking at your back during worship, and as Brother Todd was ministering, I kept hearing the word teacher, and I feel like God's going to put you in a place to begin to equip you to begin to equip others. And I saw you teaching in a small group of women, people maybe your age, I don't know. But the picture was you were sitting at a table and just teaching very casually but very effectively. You were teaching a group of young ladies, and so there's a season to be equipped in order that you might equip others. And I just wanted to leave you with that. So yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Amen. I want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, I just really see like that you had a wall in front of you for a period of time, and I just feel like you broke through that wall. And now that you're on the other side of this wall, it's like, it's almost like I see God put you in a room like, wow, this is so different, okay? And the reason why you got that breakthrough is because you were patient. You know, you had to endure much to get to where you are today, okay? But now that you're in this other room, now that you're in this other place, it's a place of opportunity. It's a place of restoration. There's restoration that's going to take place. Things are going to be restored to you in a quicker manner than you could even anticipate it.
Thank you, Lord.
Because God's moving, you know, very quickly. And I see minds changing. It's like change of minds around you. It's like you have favor all of a sudden where there wasn't favor. You know, there's people that are opening up, trying to help you out where they wouldn't help you out. It's like God just flipped the whole tables. It's like Jesus came and just flipped the tables in your life. And then I said, there's an area of restoration, okay? You're going to take this liberty, and you're going to take this freedom, and you're going to recognize that the hand of God was on it the whole entire time. And you're going to teach, again, like she has a teacher. Yeah, I see a teacher inside you, and that teacher's going to come out. It might be a pulpit ministry. I'm not saying that it's not. It could be, okay? But it's still teaching nevertheless, okay? This is something you've communicated. This is something you believe for, and the Holy Spirit has heard you come out of your mouth because he was in your mouth when you said it. Amen? So it says, God, to meet the desires of your heart, but you've got to the place in life where the only desires that you have is for your Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because he's the only way you got through what you got through. So good. Amen. Lord, just bless my sister, Lord. Fill her up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you for the angels are being dispatched from this place. I don't know if she has a natural brother that hasn't yet come to the Lord, but I see a brother, Lord, that is going to come to you because of the result of her prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got a brother? Yes. What's his name?
Anthony.
Anthony.
Anthony's come to the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, George, I know you, so it's I can say things to you, but I don't know everything about you, right? Amen. So you are a little bit of a mystery. I do resonate the teacher that Ralph was seeing inside of you. And there's a real purity. There's a breath of fresh air. There's waters, you got your purified water, the distilled water, where that's supposedly the purest water that there is or whatever. But I see God using you like distilled water. The words that come out of your mouth are pure. They're choice words. The Holy Spirit has been teaching you about what comes out of your mouth. You've been very careful. It's like a surgeon that is doing an operation. You're very careful your words. You've been finding yourself choosing certain words in different situations. And even times when you wanted to communicate something, you also learned to not say anything. So this is what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, to trace training your tongue. Okay? And it's like when I read that scripture, has given me the tongue of a disciple. The Holy Spirit has given you a tongue of a disciple, as one who is taught. This is a teaching that is already within you. It's not a teaching that can be learned cognitively. This is a teaching that comes from inside of you, where the Holy Spirit is teaching you what comes out of your mouth. And the reason why this pure water is coming out of you is to give life to those that are around you. People are going to hear what the Lord has to say through you. And it's not that you're directing them directly to Him, because He saves. He draws them. He's going to do the saving. But the words of encouragement, the words of strength, the words of peace that come in your mouth are going to be like impartation. It's like it's a power. It's a force that's going to come out of your being and touch people. So you will come across people who are very unsettled. They aren't going to have any peace in their life. They're very rattled. Time and time again, God is going to put them in your path. Even if you worked at a restaurant or something like that, I know you were doing something, but I don't know if you're still doing whatever, you get an agitated person that you're serving. You know what I mean? That's the kind of person that God is sending you to. And you're going to remember this word, because this is going to happen quite frequently. But it's not going to bother you, because God's going to give you a choice word to speak to their heart. It doesn't mean they're going to settle down necessarily, but it's going to go deep down inside of their spirit, because it's the Lord doing it. Amen? Because God says His word will not return to Him void. When He speaks a word, it will perform exactly what He has said it will do. It's interesting, because Brittany, you all know Brittany, right? I had a word over here years ago. This is years ago, that she would be teaching women. And she walked out of that meeting like, what in the world did he talk about? And she sent me a text recently. She said, that word you gave me, that's not, I don't remember. She said, I didn't believe it, but it's all happened, has it not? And so some of these words that come out of your mouth, when they hit people, you may not see the results right away. But after years have gone by, you'll see it. I don't know if you have that long. I think the Lord's going to move fairly quickly. Amen? Amen? God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. My sister there in the deep thought right there. You might even be sleeping. I'm not sure. Have I met you before? Okay, I didn't think so. You look kind of familiar to me. Anyway, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Amen. Some of the things that have been said here have really penetrated you tonight, just deeply. And especially when we talked about love and unforgiveness and all that stuff. Because as I look in the spirit, I see a rap sheet that just got burned up tonight. And it wasn't a rap sheet on you. It was a rap sheet of people who did you wrong. And some of the places, there's different storms in life. You got storms like Jonah had, where Jonah was fleeing from the presence of God, and he got swallowed by the fish. Then you got Jesus' storm. He was the will of God, so he rebuked the storm. And then you got Paul's storm, who was on a ship, where Paul told this person not to do something. Because of their bad decision, Paul ended up in a storm and the ship got wrecked. That's your storm. People made bad decisions that made you get into a big storm and in a lot of trouble. And those are the people that God has given you the ability tonight to let go of. I mean, you've forgiven them. Don't get me wrong. You don't like to hold grudges. You're not very good at it anyway. Okay? But there's some lingering hooks there that God wants to cut off tonight so that you can walk out here completely free because you have a prophetic mantle on you. I'm not calling you a prophetess. I'm just saying there's a prophetic mantle on you where you will stand up for righteousness. You will stand up when you see a lie arise. You hate lies. And God has given you a good lie detector. You're going to be able to see through people time and time again. But God's going to take that prophetic eye of yours, and like I talked about, and to see the potential of people's lives. So the words that are going to come out of your mouth are going to be encouraging, upbuilding words where you're going to see what's wrong, but you're going to see what the solution is. And God's going to give you a word to speak to them, to encourage them. Time and time again, this is going to happen. It's going to begin this week, but it's going to go into next week and the following week. It's going to increase and it's going to snowball. And it's going to change your countenance. Because right now, if I could take a picture of you, you could see something that you are shining right now. You have changed. Right in front of me, you have changed. You don't look the same. That's the glory of God that's beginning to manifest in your life. And he is going to continue that process. I want to encourage you. You've got a ministry. You need to, I don't know if you can do it right now, but just maybe in a year or two, or maybe even less, you got to get a passport because I see you on a mission field. I see God sending you out where you totally have surrendered yourself totally to God. You know there's nothing else to do except to run for him. Everything else has been taken from you anyway, right? But they cannot take him from you. Nothing can snatch your hands. And as you stand and as you press through that, you're going to see God restore the years that were stolen from you and going to be restored back into your life. And you realize only God could do that. Amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Let's all stand to our feet. Some of you, if you just know this, if anybody has anything for anybody else, and one of the things I want you to know is I've been talking to some people. We got Danny Stain coming back at some point in time, but a lot of you in here have praying ministries where you just pray for people, and I don't call on you very much, but I'm going to be doing that. So just know, just be ready, because I know some of you, you know, not everybody moves. Everybody moves differently, but I got some people in here that when they pray for people and they lay hands on people, I mean, they're going to be recovered. And you know who you are out there, and I want you to be a little more bold. Some of y'all need to start praying for different people. If God leads you to specific people, person or whatever, you have a prophetic word, when I get done praying, I want you to just go ahead and do it. My only thing is if you can record it, that'd be great. So anyway, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. What a blessing it is to be in your presence. I ask you, Lord, to continue to move in our hearts and prepare us for an outpouring, for a manifestation of your glory that doesn't ever fade, the glory that is everlasting. And we just thank you for that, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would envelope us in your love, that your love would so penetrate us tonight, so deeply, Lord, that we cannot hold back anymore of those that are around us. To bless them, Lord, with your words, with your love, with your grace. Father, I just ask you right now that you would fill us up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we're believing for that shaking, that outpouring, that filling up, Lord, that we read about in the book of Acts that occurred to them after the days of Pentecost, that this would be a gathering point for that, Lord. Lord, that we would get out of your way and allow you to lead. Lord, we just bless you and we just thank you. And protect each and every individual on their way home tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.